This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah رب العالمين, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Majestic, and we ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and every single person who embraces the prophetic teachings with ikhlas, with sincerity until the end of time. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, I begin by reminding myself and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jumu'ah to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to instill the consciousness of your Maker into your lives. You must do this, O my congregation, O believers, O slaves of Allah. You must do this if you wish to attain victory, if you wish to attain success in this world as well as the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. This Friday, a blessed day indeed, is the last Friday for the month of Ramadan, 1445 Hijri. We have come to the end of this noble and beautiful month. So as we all gather here for Salatul Jumu'ah, the final Jumu'ah for Ramadan 1445, the topic of my sermon today is the final departure. Let us reflect on a powerful and inevitable reality, a truth that each and every one of us, every soul, shall encounter: death. Allah says in the noble Quran, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut." Every soul shall inevitably taste death. We all, whether we like it or not, have to taste death, and we will be returned unto our Maker, unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We sit here enveloped, we feel tranquil, but we must ponder upon this reality. We must. Let me give you a statistic. A lot of us may be aware of this statistic, but you know, each and every time I read this statistic, each and every time I come across it, it puts things in perspective. It helps me to get my priorities straight. Every second, my dear brothers in Islam, every second that ticks by, nearly two souls depart from this world. Nearly two souls. It is estimated that over 56 million deaths occur annually, which translates to approximately 4.6 million deaths monthly, 150,000 deaths daily, 6,000 deaths hourly, 106 deaths every minute, and nearly two deaths every second. Allahu Akbar. Google it. There are even websites that you will come across. It's scary. When you click the website, it gives you a ticker. There's a live ticker, and that keeps rolling. Every second, two deaths. Every second, two deaths. Pause for a second. Two people have died. Another second, two people have died. Another second, two people have died. Is that not a stark reminder that in the next second, I could be from the two people dying. You could be from the two people dying. The next second, you and I, every second that goes by, it could be one of us just fall down dead. Allahu Akbar. What guarantee do we have that we will walk out of this masjid alive? What guarantee do I have that I will walk down from this pulpit, from this mimbar? What guarantee do we have that we will break fast today? What guarantee do we have that we will witness Eid with our families? Last Ramadan, there were many of us with us, from our loved ones, our friends, our family. Today, this Ramadan, they are not with us. Why? They've passed away. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul shall inevitably taste death. And this is why, my dear brothers in Islam, our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he is reported to have said, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Make excessive remembrance of the destroyer of pleasures, the terminator of pleasures, i.e. death. You and I, my dear brothers in Islam, the glitter of this worldly life has got us caught up in a rat race. We all hanker, myself included, we are all hankering behind this worldly life from morning to evening, not realizing that with every step that we take, with every second that passes by, we are headed towards our qabr, we are headed towards our grave. And the question, the pertinent question, is, are we preparing for the grave? Are we preparing for the life of the hereafter? After Jum'ah, you might be headed towards your office. You might be headed home. You might be walking. You might be in your vehicle. You might enter your office and you are all alone in your office. You might go home. You might go to the confines of your bedroom to change your clothes, to refresh. And suddenly you will see another being standing. Now obviously you're going to be gripped with fear. Why? Because your vehicle, your bedroom, and you might ask, who are you? And the answer, grim answer, will be, Ana Malakul Maut. I am the angel of death. I have come to extract your soul at the appointed time. Now you and I, if we are not ready to meet our Maker, if we are not ready to meet Allah, if we have not prepared for the qabr, for the grave, we are going to plead, we are going to beg, Ya Malak al-Maut, give me time. Give me time. Why? Because I want to write away all of my assets in charity. I want to spend some time in sujood. I want to make tawbah. All the sins will start coming in front of us. We will beg and plead. And my dear brother, my dear sister, not a single extra second will be given. Not a single extra second will be given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, Kalla idha balaghati at-taraqiya wa qila man raq. Kalla idha balaghati at-taraqi. And nay, when the soul has reached their collarbones, in the process of extraction, the soul has reached the collarbones. وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقٍ. And it will be said, who will cure this person? وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ. And the dying one, now at that point, he is in sakarat. He is in the throes and pangs of death. And he is sure of the separation. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ. And then the leg will be wound with the other leg. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقُ. And then on that day, to Allah will be the procession. We will be taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers in Islam, this is a stark reality that you and I, we are all going to experience. So the question is, are we prepared? Are we ready? Subhanallah. So in the few minutes that I have with you all, I want to share a narration, a powerful hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, he makes mention that once we went with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to the janazah, to the funeral of an Ansari, of a man of the Ansar. We came to the grave. The grave had not been dug yet. Subhanallah, those of you who have participated in funerals, that is such a harsh reminder. When you throw the dirt, the grave, the earth into the grave, you realize that the glitter of this worldly life, the pomp and glitter of this worldly life, is a mirage. It's nothing. It's an illusion. It's like a dream. Everything fades away. We are not going to take our fancy vehicles into the qabr. We're not going to take our villas and mansions and apartments and lands and properties into the qabr. You're not going to take your bank balances into the qabr. You're not going to take the fancy brands that you've decked yourself with to the qabr. Subhanallah, just a piece of cloth, that's it. And your deeds, be they good deeds or bad deeds, your a'mal. So coming back to the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he now sat down by the grave. The narration goes along the lines of these words. He had in his hand a stick. He was making marks on the ground, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then he raised his head and he said, seek the protection of Allah from the punishment of the grave, from Adab al-Qabr. Seek the protection of Allah from the Adab of the Qabr. Seek the protection of Allah from the Adab of the Qabr. And then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam goes on to describe the scene of death. The scene of death. He says, when a believer is about to leave the world, due to the brevity of time, I have to condense and summarize. So the narration is along the lines of these words. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. When the believer is about to leave the world and go forth to the next world, i.e. he has come to the throes of death, angels with faces white as the sun come down from the heavens with shrouds from Jannah, with garments from Jannah, with cloths from Jannah, and they also come with the perfume of Jannah, of paradise, and they sit respectfully away from the believer who is about to die, and they sit as far as the eye can see. Subhanallah. Look, I'm standing here, and as far as my eye can see, I can see you all seated. So just imagine this good soul, the good believer, is going to see angels with faces bright as the sun, beautiful angels, as far as the eye can see. Then the angel of death will come forth, and he will sit at the head of the soul, and he will say, Oh good soul, come to the forgiveness of Allah. Come to the acceptance of Allah. He will greet the soul with such a greeting. And then, my dear brothers in Islam, the soul will come out from the body. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will come out from the body like a water drop comes out from a water skin. Just imagine you have a water jug. When you pour water, water flows out without any friction, without any difficulty. On the other hand, if you were to have a thick liquid, like the porridge that you have for iftar, for futur, for breaking fast, the porridge does not come out easily. It does not come out easily. But water flows out easily. So just as how water would flow out, this soul will come out of the body. And as the soul comes out, these angels don't leave it hanging there even for a single second. They immediately take the soul and they place it in that shroud from Jannah, in that beautiful shroud from Jannah that has been perfumed by the perfumes of Jannah. And then a fragrance comes out from that shrouded soul, sweeter than the sweetest musk on the face of this earth. And then what happens is, my dear brothers in Islam, the angels now accompany this soul up to the heavens. You have to bear in mind, in this world, it coincides with the time where just now the family members have realized that so and so has passed away. They're all now clamoring, they're weeping, they're crying, oh, my mother has passed away, oh, my father has passed away, oh, my son has passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And they are now sharing the news, they're preparing, they're closing the eyes of the person who has passed away. At this juncture, the soul is wrapped in garments of Jannah, and angels now escort it up to the heavens. The body has not been washed yet. The body has not been buried yet. The soul is now escorted up to the heavens. And each time the soul passes a heaven, you have to understand that there are angels guarding every heaven. And these angels cry out, "Who is this? The smell is so sweet. Who is this person?" And at every gate, at every sentry point, it will be said, it is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And good names will be used to describe that individual. If he was a generous individual, it will be said, it is the generous one, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. It is the pious one, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. It was the one always with a smile, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And no sooner the introductions are made, the angels will open the gates. Heaven after heaven, this will happen. My dear brothers in Islam, I want you all to try to relate to this. Just imagine you are going into a high security zone. Just imagine you have been invited by the ruler of a country, by the leader of a country, by the president of a country. You have the invite with you. You are stopped by the security forces at every point, and they ask, "Who is it?" And when it is said, it is so and so, they salute you, they greet you, and the gates are opened widely. Will you not feel at ease? Will you not feel important? Will you not feel happy? So similarly, just imagine this soul is going to meet not any worldly ruler, not any worldly king, not any mortal president. Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds, Allah, heaven after heaven. And this soul is welcome, no obstructions. And finally the soul is brought to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This fortunate soul, this good soul, this kind soul. And the soul is welcomed, and it is proclaimed, it is announced. Record the name of this soul in the book known as Aliyin, where the righteous names are recorded. You know, at times when you go to certain important places, they have these books. When you go to certain embassies, you go to certain places where you have to sign and make note of your presence. And when you do so, you feel important. Oh, I visited this office and I have made note that I have visited this office. Just imagine, in the court of Allah, in the register of Allah, where the souls of the righteous, the souls of the prophets, the souls of the salihun, the souls of the martyrs, the souls of good people have been recorded. Now your name is being recorded with those souls. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then the command is issued to return the soul back to the body. To return the soul back to the body. Now at that point, just imagine you and I, now we have made it to this important place. We might feel a little anxiety, not a little, we will feel anxious. We will feel scared. Why are we being returned? Why? Have I done something wrong? Am I going to be deprived? مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ. It is from this earth that we created you all. وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ, and you will be returned into it. وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى, and you will be brought forth once again from it. So the soul will now be returned to the body. And this, my dear brothers in Islam, will coincide with the time where now the loved ones, the family members, have washed the body. They've shrouded the body. And they are now getting ready. Perhaps Salatul Janazah has been conducted, has been prayed. And now they are about to put the body into the grave. Again, think about it, my dear brothers in Islam. Think hard, ponder, reflect. How big is your master bedroom? How big is your washroom? You have seen the grave. How tight, how small, how dark it is. You can be the richest Muslim on the face of this earth. Does that mean you're going to get a VVIP qabr? Does that mean you're going to get a qabr with 24/7 air conditioning? Does that mean that you can build your palaces and your castles inside? You've seen the depths of quote-unquote royalty. It can be the most richest person or the most poorest person. We all go into the same qabr. We all go into the same grave. So the body is now lowered into the grave. The soul is now returned to the body. And at this juncture, family members are closing up the grave. And this is again another reality. Your spouse can love you to bits, but is she going to come into the qabr with you? Your children, they love you immensely, but are they going to come into the qabr with you? Oh, my father has passed away, so you know what, I can't live anymore. I'm going to remain in the qabr with my father. Everyone leaves, my dear brother, my dear sister. Eventually you will hear receding footsteps as the family members go to greet the people who have come for the funeral, go back home. Yes, they will mourn, they will feel sad, but eventually they will move on. They will move on to discussions about dividing your wealth, dividing the money that you left behind. Allah forbid, some families will start fighting. Most families today will start fighting over what you have left behind if you have not left it in the right way. So get this all straight. When you go into the qabr, it is your good deeds. And now the angels will start questions. And if you are a good believer, you will be able to answer all these questions confidently. Who is your Lord? My Lord is Allah. Who is your prophet? My prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. You might think, oh, I know the questions now. I know the answers now. Why will I not be able to answer on that day? Remember, my dear brother, my dear sister, it's not going to be answering from your tongues. It will have to be answers from the heart. If you embraced the prophetic teachings, the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the answer will flow. You will say, my role model, my Habib, my beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But on the other hand, if you have embraced the lifestyles of others, of Hollywood, of Bollywood, of sports personalities, of TikTok influences, of social media influences, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is not going to roll off your tongue. It will be those celebrities. It will be those individuals that you adored, that you respected, that you held so dearly. You shunned the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for their lives. So how can you even attempt to say the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So truly embrace the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will be able to answer those questions. And then this good soul will see a man an individual rather, who looks so beautiful, so good, and the person who has passed away will ask, who are you? And now this beautiful individual will introduce himself, will say, I am your good deeds. I am your good deeds. Allahu Akbar. And at that juncture, my dear brothers in Islam, for this good soul, the qabr, the grave will be expanded. It will be expanded as far as the eyes can see. And he will remain there in peace until the day of Qiyamah is established. On the other hand, if it is a bad soul, in the same hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, from the beginning, his soul will be extracted from the body in a very excruciatingly painful way, not like a drop of water coming out. The example given is, if you take wet wool or wet cotton, and if you have an iron comb, a comb made of metal, you push it into the wool, and as you pull the wool, the strands of cotton, you can feel that excruciatingly painful process. It is not very pleasing to describe. Or another example, think of a thorny branch being put into your body, and the thorns snag onto your nervous system, and then somebody yanks the thorny branch out of your body. Just imagine the shocking pain that the body will go through. This will be the pain that the bad soul will experience, the bad individual will experience. As the soul comes out, there will be a bad stench. The angels will not greet the soul. The angels will not welcome the soul. At every heaven, the soul will be driven away. No welcome whatsoever. Bad names will be used to call that individual. And he will not be able to make it to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be rejected. And it will be said to be his name to be recorded in the book of the sinners. And the soul will be thrown back into the body. And he will fail when it comes to answering the questions put forth by the angels. And there won't be good things waiting for him in the grave. Rather, there will be extremely ugly things. An ugly, scary, very grim individual will come forth. And then this person who has passed away will say, who are you? And this grim, scary individual will say, I am your bad deeds. I am the deeds that you committed. My dear brother, my dear sister in Islam, the grave will close upon this individual so tight that the rib cage will interlock. The rib cages will interlock. He will be in excruciating pain until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, we know of the sins that we have committed. We know of the sins that we have committed in private. We know of the sins that we have committed in public. This month of Ramadan, it is a good opportunity for you to turn to Allah in tawbah, for you to seek the forgiveness of Allah. Seek the forgiveness of Allah sincerely. Turn over a new leaf. Do not take the forgiveness of Allah for granted. Do not play with Allah Azza wa Jal. Every second, two people are passing away. You want to make your tawbah before you pass away. If you pass away in a state of sin, with your sins not forgiven by Allah, it is truly unfortunate. It is truly unfortunate. Therefore, do not waste a single second. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. Reflect on the sins that you have done. We have all done sins. We have all slipped. Reflect on the sins. Make sincere tawbah. This month of Ramadan is known as Shahru Tawbah, the month of tawbah. Allah's forgiveness is waiting for you. Seek His forgiveness, turn over a new leaf, and mend your ways. In terms of good deeds, do as many good deeds as possible. In terms of your wealth, try and give as much charity as possible. That is what you are going to see when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give out your zakah. Give out your sadaqah. When giving out your zakah, understand that you must learn about it. You can't just calculate and give out your zakah to whoever you want to give. There are people who just do a rough calculation of their zakah, be it the yearly zakah or zakatul fitr, which you are supposed to give soon. They make a rough calculation of it. They change it into loose change. They come by the masjid. They see the beggars sitting outside the masjid. They dish out their zakah and think that they have given out their zakah. Subhanallah, at times the people seated in front of the masjid, I'm not saying everyone, but some of them are fraudsters. Some of them are liars. Some of them are scam artists. So then what have you done? Have you done your research? Have you given your zakah properly? No. There are hungry mouths out there. real, genuine families struggling to make ends meet, but you have not given your zakah properly. Why? You have just taken the easy way out. So you think you have fulfilled your obligation with regards to zakah? No, you have not fulfilled your obligations with regards to zakah. Therefore, learn about it. Go to scholars, sit down with them, learn about the obligation, how you're supposed to calculate it, how you're supposed to give it out, to whom you're supposed to give it out. Can you give it to family members? Can you not give it to family members? Can you give it to so and so? Does this thing qualify them as recipients of zakah? Learn about all of this and give your zakat out properly. Learn about salah and offer your salah properly. Are you making your ablution properly? Are you praying properly? Are you reading the Quran properly? Learn about all of this and fulfill the obligations, thereby rendering yourself not accountable when you stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I conclude, I hope this reminder was of benefit. This is the last Ramadan. This is the last Friday for this Ramadan. We sincerely pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to make the most out of the remaining days of this month of Ramadan. May He bless us to attain Laylatul Qadr if we have not already attained Laylatul Qadr. Ameen. May He bless us with healthy and productive long lives to attain many more Ramadan in the future. May He bless us with generous hearts to give out as much charity as possible. May He bless our children. May He protect our families. And just as how He united us here, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah, in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wayan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.